Now, Mr. and Mrs. North, brought to you Monday through Friday at this same time. Mr. and Mrs. North, transcribed, starring Richard Denning and Barbara Britton. Listen to Pam and Jerry in Chapter 4 of the mystery Night Walk.
Now, just a minute, Wade. You're forgetting that half of that $25,000 in the company account is mine.
Not anymore, Frank. I'm taking your half.
What do you want it for?
Never mind what for. Just get it for me. In cash, first thing in the morning.
Just like that?
Just like that.
No explanations, no nothing.
That's right.
What if I don't get you the money?
I go to the government about our falsified tax returns. Evelyn was blackmailing us, Frank. And now I'm blackmailing you.
The long night is over. Evelyn Forbes lies in the morgue. Laura Hatton sleeps fitfully in the midtown apartment of Frank Bates. And in those long moments when she lies awake in the darkness, she can still hear Wade's voice.
You're not going to the police station. Here, we're going away, Laura. Somewhere out west, maybe. Somewhere where we can start over.
Then, at 24 St. Anne's Place in Greenwich Village, the bright and cheerful apartment of Pam and Jerry North is chilled by the shadow of one murder committed and another attempted.
But why, Bill? It doesn't make sense. Why in the devil would Hatton try to kill his wife?
Well, the fact that he lied about the time he got back from Cleveland doesn't prove he did try to kill her.
No, and I still say it's probably just coincidence that his car and the one that almost hit his wife look alike.
And I still say it's just too much of a coincidence for me to swallow, especially after he lied about the time he got back into town last night.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Pam. But as you say, Jerry, it just doesn't make sense. Now, why would Hatton try to run his wife down?
Well, maybe Laura Hatton can answer that when you find her.
If we find her.
Bill, is it possible that Laura Hatton didn't kill her sister?
Anything's possible, Pam, but on the face of it, it looks pretty open and shut.
Now, what idea is running around loose in that pretty little head of yours, darling?
Well, Bill said that Evelyn Forbes was killed about 10:30.
10:15 at the earliest, according to the medical examiner.
And Wade Hatton was in town at 8:30.
Are you suggesting that he killed Evelyn Forbes?
Well, he was lying for some reason.
Look, you two, we're asking one another a lot of questions we can't answer. What do you say we ask the man who can answer them?
Wade Hatton?
Yes.
Yeah, do you want us to come with you?
If you don't mind.
Okay.
I'll get my hat.
Do you want some more coffee, Laura?
No, thanks.
Would you... Why don't you try to get some more?
Oh, Wade, let's call the police. Let's get it over with.
No.
I'm not going to go away with you, Wade.
Laura. Laura, you promised you wouldn't decide
it. But I have decided. Oh, Wade, don't you realize what I did? I killed Evelyn.
Laura.
I walked in my sleep and I killed her. I'm insane. I'd have to be to do a thing like that. And even if we could run away, even if the police didn't catch me, how could I be sure that I wouldn't do something like this again?
You wouldn't.
How do you know?
Because Evelyn's out of our lives. She's gone. She's dead. All right. I'm going to let you give yourself up, Laura. You're coming away with me.
Why are you doing this for me, Wade?
Why? Because I love you.
You're not afraid for me to go to the police, are you?
Afraid? I don't understand.
Well, Wade, a couple of times in the night, lying here, I had a feeling. A feeling that I hadn't killed Evan. That I couldn't have.
Go on.
And there's something else, another feeling. It's as if I could just remember something.
Remember what?
I don't know.
What do you want, Frank?
Come out here.
Okay. I'll be right back, honey. You're sure you don't want some more coffee?
No.
Huh? Then I'll take your cup.
Wait.
Okay, coming. Well?
Lieutenant Wagand and those people who found Evelyn just got out of a police car out in front. Now, look, Wade. Give it up.
No.
But that lieutenant may know Laura's here.
How could he know?
Well, I don't know, but... Oh, there they are. Wade, in the name of heaven...
Shut up.
Wade.
Shut up. Oh, shut up and listen, Frank. If you breathe one word about Laura being here, you're dead. I mean it. Now open the door.
Morning, Mr. Bates.
Lieutenant Wagand, come in.
Thank you. You know Mr. and Mrs. Norris?
Sure.
Hello.
Hello.
Morning, Hatton.
Hi.
I have a few more questions I'd like to ask you, Heaven.
Sure.
Where's your car?
My car? Oh, why, it's parked in front of my apartment. I came over here last night with Frank.
Do you drive a green sedan?
Yes.
License number 3Y2037?
Yes.
Were you driving your car last night, Mr. Heaven?
Last night? Why, no.
You're sure of that?
Well, of course I'm sure. Say, what's all this about?
Your wife was almost struck down by a car last night, Heaven.
What? When?
When we saw her outside of Mario's Cafe down in the village.
Just a couple of blocks from your apartment. And according to Mrs. North, the car that nearly hit her was a green sedan of the same make and model as yours.
Well, I still don't see what you're getting at.
Well, Mrs. North is of the opinion that the driver of the car was deliberately trying to run down your wife.
That's insane. Well, why would anybody try to run...
We thought you could answer that question, Hatton.
You think it was my car?
Same make, same model, same color. Now, if it wasn't, it's quite a coincidence, isn't it?
And that's exactly what it is. I haven't touched my car for over a week. Not since I went to Cleveland.
Then how do you account for this?
What?
This book of matches from the King William Hotel in Cleveland.
My husband and I found them on the seat of your car.
If you didn't drive your car last night after you got back from Cleveland, how did they get there?
Well, Hatton?
It's possible, Lieutenant, that those matches could have been in the car for quite a while. Wade's been to Cleveland several times recently, and, well, you've always stayed at the King William, haven't you, Wade?
Yes. Yes, those matches are probably some I picked up on one of my other trips. Good Lord, I love Laura. I wouldn't do anything to hurt her.
All right, Hatton. But I'm going to have to ask you to come along with me anyway.
Where?
To headquarters.
Why?
I want to know why you said you got in from Cleveland at 10:45 when actually you arrived at 8:30. And you seem to have a great deal to hide, Hatton.
That address again, Mike?
437, driver. The Graysonville.
Yeah, I got you, Mike.
Golly, Jerry, I wish you'd have let us go down to headquarters with Bill.
Now, Pam, dear, I have more important things to do than tag around after Bill all day. And so have you.
All I'm going to do is go shopping.
Well, then in your case, I'm wrong. In the middle of this box, driver.
Okay, Mike.
Could I meet you somewhere for lunch, Jerry?
No, I'm sorry, darling, but I'm tied up.
Hey, Mike.
See you at home this evening.
All right. Bye.
Oh, what though, lady?
At Quinlan's department store.
I got you. So I was listening to you mention to your husband about lunch. If you're ever down around 33rd and 3rd around noon, you try a spot called the Bluebird Cafe. A bat of mine runs it. Of course, it's not the store for 21, you understand. Not the fancy. But if you should just happen to want the best pastrami sandwich you ever sank a tooth into, you try that joint. And only two bits. I'm telling you, a pastrami sandwich that thick for just only two bits.
Well, that's wonderful.
Well, that's the way this pal of mine is. He's not profiteering, you know what I mean? Gives the customer a square shake. You think how it is now with coffee, for instance.
Coffee?
Yeah, coffee. You know most joints charge a dime now?
Coffee.
This pal of mine still serves a cup of java as big as a bird bath for a jitney.
That's it?
Yeah, that's what, lady.
Oh, what's been bothering me?
Lady, I got you. I know just what you mean. The way the price of job has been...
No, I mean in front base department.
Fine.
Three cups and only two people. Driver, turn around.
Where do you want to go now?
That's the apartment house where you picked up my husband and me.
You want to go right back where you started from?
Yes, and hurry.
Okay, I got you, lady. Well, come to think about it, have I?
Laura?
Yes, Frank.
May I come in?
Yes. Who was that out there?
Lieutenant Wigand. He took Wade down to headquarters with him.
Why?
Well, I'm afraid Wade's in trouble, Laura. The lieutenant thinks the car that almost hit you last night was Wade's.
Wade?
And that Wade may have been trying to kill you.
What? Oh, but that isn't true. It can't be true.
I don't believe it either. It must be some sort of a mistake, but... Well, the fact is that Wade's hiding something.
Something more than the false tax return?
So he's told you about that.
Yes.
Yes, it's something more than that. He lied to the police about what time he arrived from Cleveland last night. He told them 10:45. Actually, he was back in town at 8:30.
Why should he lie?
That's what the police want to know. Now, probably I shouldn't be telling you all this, but we might just as well face it. We're all on the spot.
And I put it there.
You couldn't help it. I have to go to the bank and get the money Wade wants.
Oh, that won't be necessary, Frank. I'm not going away with Wade. You won't have to give him the money.
I'm afraid it isn't as simple as that, Laura.
What do you mean?
If you give yourself up, Wade will talk about those tax returns.
Oh, but why should he?
He has some crazy idea that it would be his form of penance for what he did to you when he let Evelyn move in with you. So for his sake, as well as mine and yours, don't do anything foolish. I won't be gone long. You'll be sure to be here when I get back.
All right, Frank.
Good girl.
I'll be here. I probably should have called Jerry or Bill first, but well, I'm here now. Where could he have gone?
You look in for Mr. Bates, miss?
Yes.
Well, he's not in. Seen him go out, 5-10 minutes ago.
Are you sure?
What'd you say?
I asked if you were sure.
I'm positive.
Are you the superintendent of the building?
How's that?
Are you the superintendent?
Yes, ma'am.
But may I talk to you for a moment?
Oh, I didn't get that.
May I talk to you?
Why, surely, miss. What about?
Well, I... Please, would you turn off your vacuum cleaner so I don't have to shout?
Huh?
I asked you to talk. Thank you.
Well, that makes a good deal of racket, don't it?
Yes.
Must be a loose part or something in that. I'll have to take it all apart one of these days to see. Of course, maybe all it needs is just a squirt of oil. Well, what can I do for you?
Oh, my name is Mrs. North.
I'm pleased to meet you. My name is Sneeden. Al Sneeden.
How do you do? I know you'll think this is an unusual request, but could you let me into Mr. Bates' apartment?
What for?
Well, my husband and I came up to see Mr. Bates a little while ago, and when I left, I forgot something.
What?
Well, it was some papers. Some very important papers, and I need them right away.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, and I guess you'll just have to wait till Mr. Bates gets back.
That might not be 4 hours.
Yes, that's right. It might not be.
Please, Mr. Sneeden, I must have those papers immediately. It'd be worth $5 to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ten.
Ten? I don't know. You sure you're telling the truth?
Oh, yes.
You don't seem too sure. Of course, I guess if I should go in with you now, it...
What's the matter?
Smell something?
No, anything. No. Yes, it's gas.
Why, that sure is. Yes, that's gas, all right, and that's coming from Mr. Bates' apartment.
Mr. and Mrs. North transcribe, starring Barbara Britton and Richard Denning and featuring Francis DeSales, comes to you each weekday night, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Mr. and Mrs. North is based on the characters originally created by Francis and Richard Lockridge and is written for radio by Ken Field. Music is by Del Castillo. Mr. and Mrs. North is a John W. Loveson production. Be sure to join us again tomorrow evening for another exciting chapter in the mystery Night Walk. For colorful stories taken from the pages of actual police blotters, don't miss CBS Radio's Gangbusters this Saturday night. This week's story is called The Case of the Ambush at the Bridge, a thrilling tale of tracking down and catching two dangerous bandits or hiding in a truck on the outskirts of a town in Kansas. Plenty of action. Don't miss a single moment of this exciting story on Gangbusters this coming Saturday night here at the Star's address over most of these stations. Follow the serial adventures of Mr. Keene evening times on the CBS Radio Network.